Welcome to the 2015 annual closing of the year meeting, member meeting. So it's not going to take too long, but we're just going to go over all the highlights. Let's see, the agenda is actually, glasses. Just came a few addresses from Robbie and Donna Cease and myself and Dave Strebel, and acknowledge a few lead positions, and then that's going to be it. So it won't take too long. So feel free to leave, obviously. That's happening.
Oh, yeah. Before everyone leaves, if you're not staying for the member meeting, I'm Christy Batts. I'm one of the facilitators for Family Camp. And I just wanted to invite you guys, if you want to make a flower offering, we brought flowers this morning to help with facilitating people who don't have funds to come to Family Camp, or increase our donations for the counselors who come and serve at Family Camp. So if you're interested, make a flower donation, a flower offering. You can bring it up to the altar yourself, or there's vases outside that you can put the flowers in. Family Camp is May 20th through 22nd, and it's a Kadampa Family Camp. It's not just for people with children. It's for our center. And you, if your family is one person, if your family is two people, it's going to be a fun-filled, high-energy weekend. It's not your traditional retreat. So if you want to come and act like a kid and be around kids, and there's going to be adult sessions, a lot of lay teachers, and hopefully some Sangha will definitely be there. So please mark it on your calendars, and hopefully this week registration will be live on the website. You can just click through to the website and check it out, or keep updated on Facebook.
Thank you. You had a question in the back?
I thought about that too. Yes, furry friends are family to a lot of people, and that's something we don't really have control of with the facility that we're using. So we're not able to bring our furry family friends. But yes, that is a good question.
That is a good question. Can bring your mouse or your lion. And I forgot to say, you'll have time for some questions and concerns at the end. I didn't add that too. Okay, so let's see. First, we're going to have an address from our center director, Robbie Watkins.
Good morning. Thank you, everyone. For people who don't know me, I'm Robbie Watkins. I'm the center director. Every center in the FPMT, the organization that we're part of, has a director, and I'm appointed by Lama Zopa Rinpoche, and I hold this position until Samsara ends, or until he wants to replace me, and I report to International Office, which is a division of the FPMT that manages the 170 centers we have around the world. Just to tell you a little bit more about the structure, we have two resident teachers, Geshe Gelug and Geshe Sampo, and that doesn't mean that they're just Tibetan monks who live at Kadampa Center. Resident teacher is an official position in the FPMT, and they are appointed by Lama Zopa Rinpoche. There are many monks and nuns who are not officially resident teachers, and Kadampa Center supports them, provides housing for them. Well, we don't provide housing because they have their own house, but we provide their health insurance and so on. We also have two spiritual program coordinators, Donna Cease, and I don't think Tony's here this month. Okay. They are appointed on my recommendation by the International Office. And this is a volunteer position currently at Kadampa Center. So Donna's going to be talking in a minute. We have a board of directors that is responsible for the fiduciary health of the center and for long-term planning. Let's see, do we have anyone from the board who's here this morning? If you could stand up. Yeah. And everybody's pictures, there's a big dartboard out over the shoe rack with the pictures of all these people. I'm not going to read off all the names this morning, but you can see them out there. The board of directors elects its president, which is Hemant Pandya, who's not here this morning. Secretary, who is Sandy Carlson, and treasurer, who is David Strievel, and he'll be doing a presentation, which is the major part of this meeting. The members of the board serve two-year terms, and they can be reelected at that time. So they're kind of the big picture people. Then we have a management team, which is all the volunteers who keep the center running. Can everybody who's on the management team stand up?
Do you want to read that? I don't think
we need to read that. They're all on the board out there. And the management team is volunteers, and they report to Jill, who is in the new position of the center manager. That's a full-time paid position. And she has a part-time assistant, Amanda. What's Amanda's last name? Amanda Henry, who works part-time in the office. So they kind of are the nexus for everything that's going on here at the center. And I think that's it. I think the financial report will be the main thing from the board, and David will do that. Any questions about the general organization of the center? Because I know people are unclear about that at times. Okay, thank you.
And now we'll hear from our spiritual program co-spiritual program coordinator. It's a mouthful.
We just go by SPC, yeah. Co-SPCs. And I want to give real props to Tony Allen, who is my co, who isn't able to be here today because he works in retail, so he's often scheduled on Sunday. And this is a volunteer position, and he's doing this on top of a full-time job and a young family. So when you see him, thank him, because it's really amazing that he's doing this, and this is part of his dedication to the Dharma and making it available to everybody. I just want to run down a little bit of what we offer at Kadampa Center in terms of spiritual programs. When I first started coming here, and even when we first got into this building 8 years ago, we were regularly scheduled on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights and Monday nights. And now we have something going every night of the week except Thursday, except occasionally on Thursdays, and then we have a puja or something else going on most Saturdays as well. So we have the basic program, which is Friday nights, and this is a higher level study program. We have Buddhism in a Nutshell, which is an introductory course, Discovering Buddhism, which is also an introductory course, but a little more detailed than Nutshell, and it's a two-year course. We have special programs and pujas on holy days. We have teachings on Wednesday nights with Geshe-la. He's teaching right now on some of the deeper meanings of the text that's in the Guru Puja. We have a Light of the Path retreat coming up later this year. This is a major retreat that Lama Zopa Rinpoche asked us to host for him. It takes 2 weeks. If you can possibly come for any of it, please do. It's really an amazing experience. Rinpoche is also very kindly going to teach here one day before the retreat begins, so absolutely don't miss that. We also have a beginning meditation class. We've got pujas. We do other retreats besides the big Light of the Path retreat. We have a Saturday morning meditation once a month. We do other special spiritual events. We have Sunday mornings. We have visiting teachers. And every once in a while, we do statue filling and blessing for people who have purchased statues, and there's a great deal of work involved in that. And there are some other little things that go on behind the scenes that are also spiritual things. So as you can see, we have a really, really full schedule, and we welcome any help and any involvement that anybody would like to get into. And I'm just going to give you a quick look at what's coming up in the next few months. I did mention the Light of the Path retreat, and at the end of this month, we're going to do a special little program about why you should come and what to expect. That's the last Sunday of this month. And we're going to do that kind of in association with our little social tea. So please plan to stay for that and find out more about it. The day after tomorrow is Losar. That's Tibetan New Year. We're doing a special Guru Puja in honor of Lama Yeshe, who with Lama Zopa Rinpoche, he's up here. the the portrait to the our left of His Holiness is Lama Yeshe. He and Lama Zopa Rinpoche founded the FPMT. Don met him. I think he's one of the few people at the center who did know Lama Yeshe. Lama Yeshe passed on Losar in, was it 1984, Don? So we remember him with his puja. And then this year, in addition to remembering Lama Yeshe, we're going to do some special practices for Lama Zopa Rinpoche's long life. So please plan to come for that. We're going to do take a little time at the beginning of March to appreciate our Sangha here at Kanapa Center. We have a special visiting teacher coming in March, Venerable Robina. If you haven't experienced her, you have to. You have to come. She's very dynamic. She's going to be here for a week, March 14 to 20. She's going to be teaching all week long, and she'll be doing a special weekend workshop on how to die happy and how to help others die happy. We're planning a local retreat in late April. I think that's going to be on the 8 verses of mind transformation. Is that right, Geshe-la? The retreat, will that be on the 8 verses of mind transformation, or has that been decided? The retreat. Yes. Okay. Well, so Geshe-la will be leading that retreat, but we don't know the topic yet. We have Venerable Amy Miller coming in June. And then the Discovering Buddhism, which is a 2-year course, will be coming to a close this summer, and we'll be starting a new round of it in the fall. So I just want to emphasize again that we really welcome anybody who wants to be, participate more deeply in any way. Come and see me. Come and see Tony. If you can't find us, come and find Jill, and she'll get you to us. And we'd really love to have you get involved. Thank you. And if there are any questions?
Anybody have any questions?
Okay. So my report as center manager. So it's been, first I'd like to thank have an open thank you with all the people who've given words of encouragement and supported me, because it's been a full 7 months. It's already been 7 months, so that seems kind of crazy. Thank you. I feel like I know what the people that went west feel like now. Even though there hasn't been a center manager before, I really would like to take a moment to acknowledge Donna Cease, because there isn't anybody in this entire center that knows more about this entire center than Donna. And thank you. We're trying our best not to go, Donna, where is and how do we and where and what? So trying to take some work off her plate, because it's been so full for so long, and now it's completely full, but in a whole other way. So at first, I just want to let you know what I did in the beginning was meet over 20 people, I don't know how many now, for over 55 hours to just listen. And I started this way, which was a little crazy because the appeal was just knocking on the door. But I decided to start this way because people needed to talk about what had been going on for years here and just to talk. So I just listened and to get a sense of how their positions were going. And then as I've learned from the training I went to with Don and Tony in Portland, what service I could offer. So I always ended the meeting with, what can I do for you? And it was kind of humorous, like, for me, you know, people were kind of surprised. So what can I do for you? So that was a beautiful time. I spent a lot of time with David Strebel, my new best friend, and our financial wizard, getting familiar and adjusting our budget and operating account codes so that we can become organized financially. There's a million ways to get organized, but one of them was to get the budget in order, get the, there wasn't a budget when I started, so we got the budget done, and then we got the next budget done for the year. So we did 15 and 16, bada boom. So it was a little daunting to start the annual appeal the day I started the job, but I'm happy to say, might even be numbers, I don't know if you got my email last night. Did you get that? Okay, he'll report that then. So we're 94.5% of our goal. So I think that's exciting. Thank you to everyone. You guys made that happen. So I would like to thank Venerable Chukila for being there, completely supporting me the whole way secretly behind the scenes, just meeting with me and explaining every single thing I needed to do because I didn't have a clue. So I know that gives you a lot of faith in me that I didn't have a clue. But now I have a clue. And so now I know what to do for next year, much more organized. And Anne, thank you so much for your work in the design. That was just an amazing design. The posters, the everything that went out, the brochures. So that was a beautiful scheme. So thank you to that. And then I think adding the in-kind donations and service this year, did everybody enjoy that? I just wanted to know, was that meaningful to you? to have that be a part of it. So I think people enjoyed coming to the table in different ways, and that helped other people financially support because they saw that maybe they could do more when other people couldn't do as much. So I hope you enjoyed the skits. They were wonderful. And I particularly enjoyed seeing the boys rock the Casbah. That was fun. So your warm-hearted support the whole time has been amazing for all the four ways of giving. So since I've started this role, just what goes on behind the scenes has kind of blown my circuits of what it takes to run this small center. I mean, we are really small, but what it takes to run it is truly just kind of shocking. And you probably will never have a clue what's going on day by day, minute by minute, what all the people are doing behind. And even with people that don't have roles, they don't have positions, there's no way to ever let you know what's happening with the phone calls, with the people meeting and talking and emailing. Good Lord, if we stock these emails up, we would blow the internet. So let's see. I try to attend to all your requests, and I've made that sort of a priority, which is a little insane to do whatever people are requesting. But I wanted to start off like that. Not that I'm not going to try to continue like that, but to let you know that I'm listening to you. So, for example, someone, Mr. Brown, whispered in my ears, get rid of the pews. And so we made that happen. So the pews are gone, and I think it leaves a lot of room for openness in the Gampa and how we can change things. So not that everything you whisper in my ear will be done, but I will do my best. So Amanda joined me in mid-October, and that's when I could really take a nice deep breath and start to get a little bit more of a grip. We make a great team together, and it's our wish that you feel listened to and answered. We want you to feel free to email us and call us. If you have questions, concerns, or you just want to, if you want to complain, whatever you want to do, you can do it. So there are many directions that a manager can put effort in, and to lead effectively, I have a strong belief in connecting us to each other. And so to become strong and harmonious. And so that's why I started with the hospitality team, Jen, and Vivian, I think, is teaching right now, right? So they're just getting started, and it's important to me to start with hospitality so that we are together, and the more we talk, the more we learn what we need to do in the future. So that's why I started with things that maybe might seem a little backwards. I think it's helping. So you might have gathered from my side notes, which are a little quirky, my letters and communications, that I've started on the simple level of just being sincere and a little zany in my undying love for the center. We hope that you follow Geshe-la's wishes, that you make the center your center in whatever way you feel like that works for you. And I know I've been repeating this a lot, but has everybody heard that the center's open? Have you gathered that through the emails and notes that you can come meditate? I feel like I've said this a lot, but that you can come meditate, you can come study, you can use the library, you can buy things in the bookstore, you can eat your lunch here. We have lunch bunch on Fridays now. You can join me. I sit down at the table and we have lunch together. You can bring a friend here. You can make tea. You can just stop by. You can bring your family like you guys did. It's open. And if I happen to be running an errand, like someone said, I came here and it was closed. And I just said, I just went to lunch. So I will from time to time go to lunch or something. But if you do need to do something, call ahead and ask. That's perfectly fine. So we have a lot of positions to fill. And so now that the appeal's over, it's going to start coming out to you, all the things that we need. There's going to be IT communication communication coordinators, IT coordinator, volunteer coordinator, which will split up. And then the main position that's happening right now is the family program coordinator. So let's take a minute to thank Erin. She's right here. Yes. 5 years. 5 years of service as the Children and Youth Program Coordinator. So we're changing the name, and I just want to say a brief little snippet about it. I wrote it up in the next email. I'm always a week ahead, so then I'm a week behind. Did that go out last week, the Family Program Coordinator, or was that coming up this week? I think it went out last week, and who read this week? Did it go out last week? Okay, thank you. So I wanted to just make sure that you understood, if any of you are thinking about the position or you know somebody that might be interested, that it's a little bit broader spectrum. So I love to, if you know me, I always like to, the family program coordinator will have a Sunday education facilitator, which Erin's going to fill until the end of May. And so when you get this position filled, the facilitator, that's a lot of what the job is, and you're overseeing it. So that's why it's a little different, and I want to make sure you understand that. Then when you have this rolling with, you're following along with the diagrams here, with the curriculum writers, and then you get the lead positions filled with the teachers that are organizing the scheduling and everything, then there's a lot of relief that can happen so that you can then come over to this other wing and do a lot of the planning where the families will plug into with visiting teachers and sponsorships and mandala, you know, when we do sand mandalas here, everything that happens, how do families plug in? Aaron, of course, has already been doing all of that. So now we're saying that you can do more of this when you have someone else helping you. So there can even be a co-position. There's a lot of ways this can happen. So I want to make sure that that's clear and that you can maybe be thinking of other people that might be good for this position because we need to fill it. All right. Oh, so the Sunday tea time, we started that. So that was last weekend, and the Sunday will be the last week of every month so that we get together. It's sort of our new potluck look. If you have any questions about this, which what was that about? Oh, that was about the family program coordinator. So this year is our 25th anniversary, and this is really exciting. Yes, 25 years, thanks to Don Brown. So what we have coming, we're a little behind the ball just because I'm getting rolling with everything. So it's going to roll out. The first story is already written, and it'll hopefully show up this Monday, tomorrow, in your box from Herb Cunningham. So there's going to be stories from founding members through the whole year, and then we're going to have a team that hasn't even been invited to yet. So I've already got my list of some of you on that I'll be calling tomorrow and saying, just meet for a couple hours with me, and let's plan out this 25th year, culminating in a big event at the end of the year. So it should be really exciting. We're going to try to see how we can celebrate all year long. So the theme is 25 years of sharing the Dharma, a wish for the three times. So thank you for all your support. And next we have our report from our financial wizard. David Striebel.
Okay, let's turn down the lights a bit here so we can see what we have on the projector. I'm David Striebel. I've been the treasurer for about the last year. I'm one of the 9 members of the board of directors. And like Robbie said, you can see all our mugshots out there on the board above the shoe rack with our names. And so I'm going to take just about 15 minutes here to review our finances by talking about what happened last year and what we're planning for this year. So first, I just put in some photos here of nice things that happened in 2015. We had the children's camp with Geshe Gelug out at Camp Agape. We had Venerable Amy here teaching for a long weekend. And in November, Geshe Sangpo did a sand mandala right here on a table, right here in the Gampa, all by himself. And he's shown here with some of his friends from Kadampa Center. So this is just kind of a quick survey of some wonderful things that happened last year. And now let's get into maybe the more dull details here. This is the financial report. And so first I'd like to explain our organizational form, show our 2015 results, show the 2016 budget, and then talk about the annual appeal and how that went since it's just ended. So under the laws of North Carolina, Kadampa Center is a nonprofit corporation, as most churches are. And among other things, that lets us get the donation status with the Internal Revenue Service. So when you give gifts to Kadampa Center, it is a tax-deductible event. And like all corporations, we're managed by a board of directors. As we've talked about, there's 9 people on it. We're led by Robbie Watkins, our center director, and Hemant Panja, who's our president last year and this year. And I'm the treasurer, David Striebel. Sandy Carlson is our secretary, and there's 5 other members on the board of directors. And our job is to set the annual financial plans and kind of do big picture planning for our organization. So then as an employee for the last 7 months, we've had Jill Marie as our center manager, and she's in charge of the daily operations, which is trying to carry out all the details and make things work. So let's review, first of all, here our 2015 income. And as churches or religious organizations go, we're relatively small here in Raleigh. But we do have to bring in about $0.25 million every year. And, of course, we spend it all too. So first, let's talk about where the income came from. And as you can see by looking at the top line up there, annual appeal for $149,600, that was 64% of all of our income this last year. So the annual appeal and the responses that you have made, where you make monthly donations or you make one-time donations, one-time gifts, that's extremely important. It's two-thirds of all of our income. And it's been increasing a little bit from year to year. It's a very good way to try to manage, because when you do make a supporter pledge, then we have some idea of how much money we're going to have. Because, of course, if there was really going to be a shortfall, we would have to figure out how to economize. So the next category up there, General Donna, $28,000, 12% of our income. That just means funds we got where we don't know who gave it. If you put cash in the boxes here, things like that, we don't know who actually does that. We just put it in the treasury and we use it. Then our spiritual program, we accounted for about $23,700 there, 10% of our income. That came from donations at the time visiting teachers were here. It came from the sponsorships of pujas. There were many of those, several thousand dollars worth. And class donations. If you attend Discovering Buddhism or something like that, and you write out on an envelope, you put a check in an envelope and you write Discovering Buddhism, then we account for it as a class donation, class-related donation. Then there's our bookstore, where we brought in $17,000. And we classify all the things we sell there as either Dharma books or holy objects or merchandise, meaning like T-shirts and mugs and things like that. And committees brought in an income of $6,900. That was primarily due to the children's program having the children's camp. And it cost $6,000 or $7,000 to run that. And parents and some other kind people donated for that. Then we have stock and bond donations there. We do now have a stock market account at Vanguard, and it's all set up so that if you do happen to own stocks and you wish to donate them, you can do that. You can send them to that account. Just inquire of me, or we've got written documentation about how to do it. You can specify that you want it to be sold right away to be used for operating funds, or it can be put into our long-term fund for eventual, say, building remodeling, things like that. So we got $5,900 there, and a couple of small items, honoraria and memorials and miscellaneous, adding up to $235,000. That's how much the income was last year. And here is a review of the expenses. And as usual at a church-type organization, most of the expenditure goes for hiring people. The top line there, personnel, $125,700. That's 53% of all our expenses. And during the year, this in 2015, we had seven employees at different times. Sarah Brooks was here when the year began. Venerable Chucky was on the payroll. And Christine Allen was our bookkeeper as the year opened. And then as the year went on, our two Geshe's were employed all year long. And then our new center manager, Jill, came on board, and Amanda Hendry, office administrator. So those seven people, I guess you could tell, they're not the highest paid in the world there, because the seven people split $125,700 as their pay, as their Social Security payments, as their health care, as some car allowance and travel expenses, and some continuing education expenses. So that all rolls together. There's eight different categories there, and it all came up to $126,000 roughly. then facility operating means paying the electric bill and the gas bill and heating the building and maintaining the furnaces and the air conditioners and paying the insurance and the mortgage. That cost $27,500. Administration, $25,600 for internet fees and bank fees and our accounting service and supplies. We spent about $22,000 on the spiritual program in order to get people like Venerable Amy here and provide some gifts for visiting teachers, and to buy all the SOG for pujas, and also this year we started to pay for the Light of the Path retreat. Even though it's 7 months away, expenses started coming in last year. Then the next category is the bookstore. We had to buy the stuff we sell. And so the good news is we spent $13,000 buying the stuff, and we sold it for $17,000. So we make a modest profit in the bookstore, and that just goes into the treasury. And mortgage principal, that means paying back the principal loan amount of our mortgage, $12,500. Committees, that was primarily the children's program. Total expenses, $236,000. Now, the income was $235,000, so there's a $1,300 deficit there as of the end of the year. Now, the money, you know, it fluctuates how the picture looks from 1 week to the next about whether the bookkeeper got some amounts in or not yet. So basically, we're calling this break even. We had a break even year, and that was our goal, trying to bring in enough money to pay the bills. And $1,300 is way less, like it's 0.3% off. So income was 99.7% of expenses. So that completes that review. Our current financial situation, thanks to all your donations and all the volunteer effort, it's good. For most of 2015, our checking account balance was $80,000 to $90,000, which I know on a personal basis sounds like a lot of money, but that would pay our bills for only 4 or 5 months. And we have to have some in reserve, say, as we're starting up the Light of the Path retreat, etc. We have a restricted fund with about $46,000 in it, and most of that money is set aside for the Lama Atisha Statue Fund and the Children's Program and other money we can only spend on designated purposes. And then we have our long-term development fund at Vanguard. It has only a little in it, $3,000. We do use credit cards here at the center, and we have 7 or 8 of them. For convenience only, we pay them off in full every month. On the last day of the year, we owed $3,000, but then it goes back to zero every month. And our mortgage is our biggest single financial obligation. We are still paying on our mortgage here for the building and land. We owe $181,000, and we're paying it at the rate of $22,000 a year. So it's going to take about 12 more years at the rate we're going. We're actually paying at as slow as the bank will let us, just as we've negotiated. So that's our biggest debt. Now let's switch to thinking about this year. And this is no real details here, but we're expecting the expenses here in Raleigh to be $246,500. Therefore, we need that much in donations. Now, that's about $10,000 more than this year, than last year, 2015. So the budget's going up a little bit. The biggest special thing coming up in this year is the Light of the Path retreat. We have a budget for it, and it calls for $76,000 in expenses. We pay to get Lama Zopa here and his attendants. We pay the retreat center many thousands of dollars. We're arranging for a 2-week reservation of the whole center, and so on. So we're hoping that donations, mostly from those who attend the retreat, come in and provide all that $76,000 plus some more. And if you'd like to see this year's budget in all its detail, there's at least 100 line items on it, look at kadampa-center.org under the About Us tab, and there's our budget document is there. And, of course, we regard all the details of this stuff as public. If you would like to know, you're welcome to ask. It is not a secret. And so one place you can look is on the website, and also you're feel free to ask me or Robbie or anybody on the board, and we would try to get you some information. So the planned income then for 2016 to pay the Light of the Path retreat plus our regular budget here is about $340,000. If we don't hold a retreat in 2017, then it'll go back down to about what it is now. So that's that subject. Let me just talk about our long-term financial plans, how we operate here. First of all, we try to avoid an annual deficit. Every year we try to obtain donations equal to expenses, and the last several years we have managed to do that, sometimes with some surplus. That's how we've gotten to have $80,000 in the checking account. We've had some surpluses in past years, and so some funds have built up. It was only half a dozen years ago, I was treasurer back then too for a stint, and I remember sometimes the balances on hand were so low we had to actually be careful about paying the bills because we could have emptied our account. But we are in much better shape now. So yes, there's the financial side to running our organization, and then there's volunteer work. And we are balancing the two. We do depend on volunteers to do a lot of things. Maybe in future years, if we grow bigger, we will hire more things done. But right now, to keep expenses down, it's very important that we have a lot of volunteers doing many things. So let me just mention then, looking to the future, what would the board say the wish list is from a financial point of view? Obviously, number one here, wish list, pay down or pay off our mortgage. If we just go as we are now, that'll happen in about 12 years. Should any surpluses come our way or any special gifts, of course, we could dedicate it to paying off the mortgage earlier. A second wish item might be to create an IRA retirement plan for our employees. We don't have one, never have had. When you do that, an employer can put in, say, 3% of employees' salaries to match what they contribute. And that, so that would cost us perhaps $3,000 a year. We've never done it because we haven't felt like we've had the money. Even though we've talked about it, and there's a question back there. Yes, it is possible to create it and not have the employer, us, Kadampa Center, contribute anything. Yeah, and that would be a possibility if the employees would. Now, of course, employees can pay into their own IRA and things like that. But we could start a plan even if we didn't have the budget to put Kadampa Center money into it. And then the third wish list item here, grow our long-term fund. This is kind of a long, looking ahead many years. Obviously, our center has gone from meeting, say, I don't know, in Don Brown's house or someone's house, I think, in the initial years, and then the basement where we met for many years. Now we have a much finer center. It's unclear. We hope there'll be some growth, and maybe eventually we'll need to remodel or even acquire some different property. So our long-term fund would be for things like that. Now let's just talk about the results of the annual appeal. The goal we had set was $153,500, and so far we've got $75,000 in monthly pledges, and one-time gifts have come to essentially $70,000, so that's $144,700, or 94% of our goal, and Congratulations to you. Okay, 300 more bucks. So, I know Jill is ecstatic, and I think we all appreciated the skits and all the other things that went along with the campaign. Essentially, we can be pretty sure that in the remaining months of the year, some folks will come along to become supporters, and they will get us over to our target. It's happened. We know that that's likely to happen. And now we have 91 supporter families that's signed up for monthly donations, and that's there's 24 new ones this year. So supporter pledges are welcomed any time of year, and I'm sure Jill can give you the paperwork if you haven't done it yet. And so that concludes our report. Everything we do here, almost everything we do here, costs some funds, costs some money, so we depend on generosity, both financially and volunteer work. So thank you, and keep up the good work. And now we're open for questions. Don Brown.
Some of us are getting older, and a lot of younger people are going to die before older people do. So, is there any way to make a donation in our will to Kadampa Center? Is there any mechanism for that?
Yes, indeed. That's why we have our Vanguard account, and of course, your will could just leave something to Kadampa Center to the general account, but you could also direct it to our stock market account. That's one of the reasons why we've established it, with the thought it's being invested in a kind of a mixed stock and bond fund that we hope will grow 7 or 8% a year on the average over the years. And so if any money is directed in there, that's where we have the $3,000 now. And it would be lovely if someone wrote their will and gave us a bequest and said, put it in the long-term development fund, and then the board would follow, those instructions and do it. And, yes, that it's all set up.
Speak to that. I'm going to be following some footsteps that someone else developed for long-term planning this year. So I'm going to look into that and start promoting it in different ways. So it'll go out with documentation and things and how to do that. Please.
Is there any plans for support for our nuns?
I would sure like to speak about that for a moment. We have four nuns here now, and I know as a board member, I feel like we are a bit remiss, but we have not felt like we have the money to support them. And so they are not employees. They don't receive any kind of benefits at all, except maybe individual donations from members who appreciate all the work they do. So at the moment, they are volunteers. We did set aside in this year's budget up to $5,000 for some kind of program. And the board hasn't decided yet exactly how to try to award that. But at the moment, we're just thankful they're here and they're volunteering. And we are thinking about what to do, but we have not reached a conclusion. I think that would be the way to say it.
Got an idea on that. This is just really raw. Robbie and I have talked just a touch about it. So it's just an idea, but I'd like to communicate with some of the nuns, Venerable Rena, when she comes, and some of the other nuns that have strong beliefs in how to support the Sangha, do a little bit of interviewing there, compile some notes, and compile some ways in which we can support, and then chew it over, get a committee together, talk about it, and then bring it to here and decide, and maybe have ways in which we can do education on how to support. We don't know what that looks like yet, but I want you to know that's another thing that I'm thinking about, is how to bring it to us. I think people want to know how to do that, and they just don't know what to do. So you can always offer your financial support or any kind of support to the Sangha members directly is most beneficial. Kim?
We do have people who are doing that.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, we do have some people that, hold on just one second, Kim, that I've talked to directly that are offering an amazing amount of support. And so it's already going out to the nuns. So it's happening. So that's sort of my way, is to like start something and then ask for permission later. So I kind of got that rolling. So then when we get going, we can say, well, we've already started it. We have a great little nest egg, a start. And so in that way, we can then build on what we've started. So I think that that's going to, a lot of people have asked about that. So it's coming for this year.
Also, our Sangha Appreciation Day, the first Sunday of next month, will be an opportunity to kind of raise the consciousness of our members to support their nuns, and it'll be an opportunity to make offerings for our nuns.
Yeah, good. Kim?
Oh. Okay. Thanks. I'm wondering if it would be useful for the center to do some research on how other centers support their Sangha. I don't know if we're... what we do / do not do, mm-hmm. Is mainstream, or if we are below the curve. So if there are centers out there that already have a structure in place, I think it would be good to find out what other centers do and how they specifically support the nuns, so that we can make ours maybe ahead of the curve.
Well, that's part of the plan of everything that I'm going to try to research in, and I'll be asking. And if you guys already have a heart pull right now, then just talk to me and we'll get started. You know, just start talking about it, create a conversation and create a group, and then see what we can do. So if it's something close to your heart, then just speak to me about it. Mm-hmm.
Is part of this addressing the issue of people offering to support Sangha so it falls under the umbrella of a tax-deductible donation?
Yeah, so that's part of the big picture, is how to make it all tax-deductible. So that's everything I'm going to be investigating, looking into how to make this whole thing a program instead of just, hey, we should do that. You know, I think right now we all want to do something. We don't know what it looks like. So that's part of the investigation, is how we can do it in a healthy, legal, make everything supportive in the best way possible. So, yes, to try to make it tax-deductible is part of the plan, too, because we've been talking about it. What else?
Any other questions?
Okay, you may be adjourned.
Let's close.